Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, where I learn how to be an overcomer. There is a way to overcomer, to be an overcomer, and to overcome what may have been bugging you for years. The scripture talks about that God is faithful. He will always provide a way of escape, a way out. And so even though you can't see it, you may have looked for it many times, and you can't figure it out, He has a way. He has a way for you to come out of the darkness, the problem, even if it's of your own making. If you've really messed up, sinned badly, that's what mercy is all about. God forgives and He restores. The thing is, don't give up. Don't be hopeless. Have some faith in your God that He cares about you. He already knows what to do about it. And if you'll just listen to Him and reach up, He'll take your hand and He'll lead you out step by step. And next thing you know, you'll be completely out of it. You'll look back and it's like a bad dream that happened to somebody else. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. So, Father, we do. We submit ourselves to You and we say, Lord, show us the way out and the way through and the way over. And we know that You are all of this. You are the way. And so we ask for utterance, anointing, grace, direction, quickening. Strengthen us, Lord, with strength by Your Spirit in our inner man. Enlighten the eyes of our heart and understanding. And thank You in advance for the truth that makes free and for total victory. In Jesus' name, to Your glory. Amen.
Amen.
We've been now for weeks on our series we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're talking about the will of God. And we've said abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, we know not everybody's experiencing that. A lot of people are experiencing lack. In fact, there are places in the world where people are starving for lack of something good to eat. And you hear people say, well, you know, we don't know why God does that and why that, you know, He chooses that some people be born into this terrible poverty like this and others are way rich in material things. Who said God did that? See, that's wrong thinking, and it's asking wrong questions. We got into this some in last week's lessons about how the Scripture says if you're without Christ, you're without God and without hope in the world. And so when people are even getting mad at God and saying, why did He do this or why didn't He do this, and they don't even realize God's not your problem. He's not doing anything against you or hurting you. The problem is God's not involved. He's not in it. That's the problem. And without Him, the curse is going to run rampant. Death and destruction, the enemy's work is unrestricted, unhindered. Listen, friend, being mad at God is being deceived. Being deceived. He has never been your problem. He's always been your answer, right? And the devil has convinced many people of these things, these lies, to keep them away from their answer so he can just destroy them. Don't do that. Run to God, not from God. Run to God and say, Lord, obviously there's a lot I don't understand, but I trust You. I'm looking to You to help me, and watch how He will. He is so faithful. He is so gracious. So everybody said out loud as a confession, say, God is my help, my deliverer, my strength, my fortress. My God is my help in this world. Hallelujah. And He is big. He is more than enough. We've gotten down to reasons number 17 and 18 in our study of 30 reasons why we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And that is the covenant of God, covenants, which includes the blessing of the covenant and the curse. And the good news is that because of what Jesus has done, we who could not deserve it, could not qualify ourselves, He has qualified us for the blessing.
Yes, sir.
And the blessing is mine.
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud.
The blessing
of Abraham.
Of Abraham.
The blessing
of keeping the covenant
is mine. And then we saw that prior to that, in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, all of the curse. And one of the greatest truths you could get a hold of along this line is what we've been seeing. If it's blessing, that's the will of God. And it's always the will of God. Does not change. If it's cursing, if it's in the curse, it could never be the will of God for you. No, sir, no, ma'am. Don't let anybody convince you. You say, I'm redeemed. Christ has redeemed me from the curse. And like I said, there are times I've been very specific about it. I would say, if the enemy was trying to bother me with something, I'd say, according to Deuteronomy 28, and I'd call the verse that this specific curse was in. This is a part of the curse of the law. And according to Galatians 3:13, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law, right? Yes. Therefore, I'm redeemed from this, this specific thing. Yes. And so you do need to know what you've been redeemed from. Go back to Deuteronomy 28, please. Deuteronomy 28, and let's go into more detail. He said in verse 1, if you listen, and boy, that's the big deal, isn't it? If you will listen to me, God says, and do what I tell you. And we talked about the way we do that in the new covenants, living by faith, walking in love, being led by the Spirit. If you'll do that, if you do that, then you're listening to Him and you're following Him. You're obeying Him. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you if, He says it again, if you'll listen, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, then blessed, blessed, blessed. Notice how many times you said blessed. I'm just going to read blessed, 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 blessing, blessed, blessed. Somebody say, I like it. Right? Now, and notice verse 10 said, and all the people of the earth shall what? They will see that you are called by the name of the Lord. By what? Why would they think you're the Lord's and you belong to Him? Well, the previous 9 verses were about blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed when you go out, come in, basket store, city, country, everything you set your hand to. God has always intended and planned that the blessing on us be a living, visible witness of His reality, of His goodness.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Of His goodness. You know, Jesus said that He is the good shepherd that gives His life for the sheep. And that was our first reason of our 30 was the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, as we've said before in times past, that the condition of the flock is a reflection on the shepherd, right?
Yes.
If there's all this fanfare about what a great shepherd this person is, they're an amazing shepherd. They're a wonderful shepherd. They're a world-renowned shepherd. And so you hear they come into town. So you come out to the road and there they come and they got their flock behind them. And you're like, yay, this is what we've been hearing about. And man, they got this beautiful robe on and they got all this finery and their hair is good and they look amazing. And you go, oh, this has got to be them. This has got to be them. And then as they pass by and you look behind them and their little sheep are pitiful. I mean, they're a little, you know, poor and ribs sticking out and little wool is matted and eyes running and sick. And one of them back there looks like the wolf got a hold of him and chewed his leg. And he's dragging his leg along. And what would you say? Come on, what would you say? You say, I don't care what they say. He's not a good shepherd. Right? Why? Look at the flock. Look at the flock. No, it's not how bad off we are that makes Jesus look good. No. No. And in fact, you know, you have people, you know, that are trying to be evangelistic and they're going and they're saying, you know, they say, man, what happened to you? And well, you know, the Lord's put me through some things and we've been sick. The whole bunch have been sick for months now. And we just got kicked out of our apartment and we're in a bad way. And I've been having to take some new drugs for depression. But, you know, why don't you come receive Jesus and come join us and be a part of our church? What would they say? No, thanks. Right? Right? Now we're laughing, but here, what if the blessing of the Lord is on you? I mean, from the time you open your eyes in the morning and the time your feet hit the floor, you're blessed when you go out, when you come in. Everything you set your hand to and even the flu and the stuff and swept through, but your kids never even got sick, never even missed. Oh, come on, you listening? And the economy took a hit, but you were able to open two new stores. Oh, come on, y'all listening? In the midst of this catches the eye of outsiders, especially people that the main thing to them is money and success, right? And when they see that, they're like, and if they're around you much, they see you don't love money. And that's not your main thing. But then after a while, honest thinking people will say, what is it with you? Right? How do you just keep doing so well? And isn't this a perfect opportunity? An open door? You say, I got a good shepherd. Is that right? Oh, he takes care of me. He keeps me, blesses me, protects me. And hey, we're still taking applications for the flock. Well, see, people want to be a part of that kind of thing. So no, it's lies of the devil that somehow our poverty glorifies God. Somehow our disease and our sickness glorifies God. No, if I was too sick to get out of bed, I couldn't be preaching to you today.
That's right.
Right? If we were so broke, we couldn't even buy a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I couldn't be coming and reaching different parts of the world through this broadcast. It takes strength. It takes health. It takes ability. It takes money. It takes resources. But hey, we know somebody. I said, we know somebody. We know the biggest somebody. And we are underwritten, hallelujah, from the Most High God. And the reason we can have such confidence that it is His will to do this for us is because we believe the Bible. We believe in the blessing and that we're redeemed from the curse. So he goes on to say, verse 10, all the people of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. The fear of God, the awe of God would fall, and people would either, you know, they would either want to come and join and be a part of you, or at the least stay away from you and not hurt you, right? Because they see something supernatural is working in your life, something beyond what you can see. The blessing is real.
Yes.
I said the blessing is real.
Yes.
Go Go ahead, confess it again. Say, the blessing of the Lord,
is on me.
It goes with me.
It works before me.
And surrounds me.
And helps me.
In every way.
Every day.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Have faith in the blessing. Turn with me to Jeremiah 33. I want you to notice this. Jeremiah 33 and verse 7 touches on this same thing. The gospel is good news, not bad news. Good news of good things about our good God and His good work in redemption. And a big part of our life is that we are to be living witnesses.
Yes.
Of what? Of what? Of the goodness, right? When people see us, not just our talking, but when they just see our lives, how we live, how we function, how things go for us, how we're spared, right, from bad things, how we're blessed with good things. That is a living witness.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we are to be ready to testify.
Yes, sir.
Right? Anytime when called on.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you were there when the blessing manifested on your life. Right? And so you are a firsthand eyewitness of what the blessing has done for you in your life. And so anybody that wants to hear about it, anybody that's open to it, they should be able to see it, and they should be able to hear it.
Yes.
And this has always been God's will. So healing is a witness of the goodness of God. Soundness of mind is a witness. Joy and peace is a witness. And a good relationships in your marriage, in your family, with your co-workers. This is all a good witness. When people walk into your home and they don't sense strife and they don't hear cussing and dish breaking, they they sense peace. And they see people treating each other with respect and kindness. You don't see this in the ungodly world. This is God. This is blessing. This is goodness. And part of what the Lord intended for people to see was in your finances,
yes,
in your material realm. Now, it's not about how rich you can be. Rich is a relative term.
Yes.
But you should have abundance,
yes,
of every good thing,
yes,
that you need,
yes,
and even some good things you just desire.
Yes.
That should be evident for people who are around you any length of time.
Yes.
And if it doesn't look that way right now, don't despair. Maybe you're just finding out about this. Well, come on, jump in with both feet and say, here am I, Lord.
Yes.
Get glory to yourself in my life.
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud. Get glory to yourself,
glory to yourself.
In my life,
in my life,
in my finances,
in my finances,
in my family,
in my body,
in every part of my life.
I want you to be seen.
I want you to be exalted and magnified
and glorified.
Get glory to yourself
in me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the will of God. And the blessing is the empowerment to make that happen. Jeremiah 33 in verse 7, they'll put it on the screen for us. He said, I will cause the captivity of Judah, the captivity of Israel, to return and build them as at the first. I'll cleanse them from their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and have transgressed against me. This is the mercy of God. If you read this whole account, they have forsaken God and replaced Him prior to this, replaced Him with other gods, false gods, and all the terrible things that He mentioned in the curse has come on them, devastating them, consuming them, destroying them. But God, His mercy endures forever. And He told them, even back there in Deuteronomy 28 and 29 and 30, 31, He told them, He said, I see the way you're going. I see what you're going to do. He said, but when you're destroyed, when it's all gone wrong, if you'll come back to me, if you'll repent, if you'll acknowledge that you broke the covenant and forsook me, if you come back, He said, I'll bless you. Just like your forefathers got blessed, I'll recover you. I'll restore you. Somebody say, merciful God, good God. And notice what He said, I will do, if you'll repent, if you'll do this, it'll be to me a name of joy, a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do to them, and they will fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure to it, to their cities, to His people. He said, people will hear about what's happened to you. And they will come and drive through your city, and they will see the money. They will see the new buildings. Come on, y'all, listen. They will see where I have brought you from and what I have done for you, and the fear and awe of God will fall on people and then go, my Lord, well, look, would you look at this place? What God has done.
That's right.
Do you know that's always God's will for all of us? God wants things in every one of our lives that's beyond what we could have done. Beyond what we could have worked five jobs and made happen, or saved or scrimped or been smart or something. It's obvious we didn't do, we couldn't have done, but it's exceedingly good. So that when people see it, they go, wow. How did you get this? How did you do that? Again, open door, right? Open door. What do you say? Oh, man, let me tell you. And sometimes you may have to say something like they did. I messed up. I didn't listen to the Lord, and I hit bottom. I hit rock bottom, and I messed up. But I tell you what, I cried out to the Lord, and He had mercy on me. And not only did He get me out of trouble, He brought me all the way back, and then He brought me another level than I ever thought I could go. And that's how you see all this. I got this new place. I got all this, and I'm doing this, and we're doing that. And to God be all the glory. See, the devil hates this. I said, the devil hates this because this is a witness. And it's the goodness of God that draws and leads people to change. So the devil, oh, he fights us. Of course he wants you broke and sick and defeated and diminished. He doesn't want anybody glorifying God about your life. But too late. Too late. We have found out the truth, and we're not going back. We're going up.
Yes.
Somebody say, I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Listen to what NIV says about this. This is Jeremiah 33:9, NIV. He said, then this city that was devastated, that was destroyed because of sin, it will bring me renown. It'll bring me joy and praise and honor before all nations of the earth that shall hear of all the good things I do for it. And they'll be in awe, and they will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace that I provide for it. He's talking about unbelievers, right? Unbelievers will say, have you seen? Have you seen what they have done? Have you seen all this new area they've built out? Have you seen all these new resources that have come in? This glorifies God. Not lack, not struggle, not doing without. Now granted, there are times that in order to do something, you sacrifice. And there are times you may clean out your accounts and sow everything you got. And it may look like you're starting from scratch. But you know, it's seed in the ground, right? And what you're looking at is temporary, and it's going to come back. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it won't be long until somebody will be saying, have you seen? Have you seen? Somebody say, the goodness of God glorifies God. Abundant prosperity honors God. Now, did I make that up? I'm reading this phrase out of the Bible, out of the scripture. So we had said it, and I want to reiterate it. If it's a blessing, tell me about it. If it's a blessing, it is. You don't have to question it. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to wonder about it. If it's a blessing, if the Bible says it's a blessing, what do I know? It is the will of God for me. Right? If it's a curse, it could not be. If it's in the Bible and it calls it a curse, there's no way that could ever be the will of God for me. Or anybody that'll listen. Thank God I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. Look back at Deuteronomy 28. He said, verse 10, all the people of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. The Lord will make you plenteous in goods, fruit of your body, fruit of your cattle, fruit of your ground. The Lord will open up his good treasure, the heaven, and give you rain into the land of his season. Let's just stop right here. So could drought ever be the will of God?
No.
Can't be. Hmm? Can't be. Can't be. And he goes on to say, to bless the work of your hand, and you will lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. It's God's will that you have way more than enough for you to operate on.
Yes.
The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only. You'll not be beneath if you will listen. Somebody say, I will listen. I will listen. Thank you, Lord, for making me the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. Making me a sign. Making me a witness of your goodness to all who see and hear. Hallelujah. And our times will begin today. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.